Everyone, welcome here. Glad you made it this morning. Just as our family grows and changes, it's just interesting the dynamics and experiences that are new to me, but probably pretty familiar to some of you. Like, where does that 15 minutes go when you walk out the door and you get in the van and you pull out of your driveway? Like, how does that take 15 minutes? That doesn't make any sense to me. I remember a time where I would just walk in or walk out the door, close the door, get in my vehicle, sit down, start up, and back out. Took me 30 seconds. But now it takes 15 minutes. It's unbelievable. I just like to take a quick moment to pray, and then we're going to get into this. God, thank you for what you're doing in the lives of each and every person here. That's how big you are. You are totally aware of everything that's going on in each of our lives. For those of us who are hurting and sad and frustrated and just down, you're aware of it, and you're actually close and you're near us, even though maybe right now we're doubting that. For those of us who are maybe excited or things are going well, promotions, or you just seem like you're answering our prayers, that's you. You're doing things. And so, God, we just come before you and say, hey, can you just continue to speak? Can you maybe slow things down just for a moment that we can just hear from you as we read your word? Amen. So, as Ryan mentioned, this summer we're doing this series, a wisdom series. Pastor Gary sort of picked it out and said, hey, this is what I think we should do this summer. It's something that when different speakers come, we can all share the same topic. And that's the idea. And you might remember a couple weeks ago, I was up here and I was talking about how Scripture is a plumb line. And a plumb line is simply this old construction tool that they'd use. And it was just like a rope with a weight hanging on it. And it worked for a level, right? So to make sure something was level, they'd come up to like a corner, hold the plumb line, wait till it stopped swinging. And that would be true. That would be up and down. And they would hold it up to the wall and be like, oh, yep, perfect, bang on, good job. And they could come around to the other side, look, yep, bang on. And Scripture is this plumb line in our life that we can come to and we can look at and say, okay, I feel pretty good. I think I'm a good guy. And we can look, sit down and we can read Scripture and be like, wow, maybe I'm not. And also because of what Christ has done, we don't stop there and just say, okay, I don't measure up. I'm crooked. This is what I should be like, but I'm standing like this. But because of what Christ has done, we can stand straight up before God. And so we can come to the plumb line and we can let the Spirit challenge us and encourage us and say, okay, what are you working on in my life, God? And I shared a couple stories from my life and really how Scripture needs to bring things and level things truly. And these experiences we have, yeah, we can experience God. We can experience some of the fullness of what God has in store for us. But we need to bring things back to Scripture and realize that He's the one that can make things actually straight. And you know this about me because I've said this before. I get excited when I have those moments where I know God is doing something in my midst, and I'm there. Sometimes I'm a part of it, sometimes I'm just sort of there and I see it. And I've had a handful of these experiences in my lifetime, and I feel extremely blessed by God because of these. Because these fire me up. Because it's kind of like, it's like when you're out hiking in Waterton, and it's like this mountaintop experience. You're up there, and you come through, and you're exhausted, and you're tired because you've been doing switchbacks for the last hour, and your legs are hurting, and they're aching, and you come up, and you come through, and you see the destination, you see the lake, and you're like, whew, no more of those, that's so good, this is awesome. And then it keeps you going when times are tough, when you have those top moments, when you get to see a new destination, something new. And so when we have these new experiences with God, and we come back down in the valley and life is hard, we will look back to that and we're like, okay, I know he's true. I know he's faithful. I just need to keep going. Well, one experience that I got to be part of was just a few summers ago. And our church that I was a part of in Salmon Arm, we had some missionaries that were in Hungary, and they were in Budapest in Hungary, and they had been there for a long time. They're really well established. They were using English club ministries to spread the gospel. So what they would do is, people in Budapest would want to learn English, and Sean and Shundi, Sean was from our church, and so he was a Canadian, and Shundi was a national. She was from Hungary, from that area, and they got married, and Sean was going into missions, and they're like, let's do it here. And so people wanted to learn English from Sean because he was a Canadian. They wanted to do it well. And their ministry was going well. And from our perspective here in Canada, we were like, these guys are awesome. This is so cool. Like that's not easy. And they're doing it. But God was working in their lives. And God was drawing them somewhere new. And he said to them, hey, I've got lots of missionaries in Budapest. I want you to go somewhere where there are no missionaries. And they're kind of like, okay, really? And so they prayed about it, and they kept praying about this. And they felt like God was leading them to this city called Teplice. And it was like a few hours outside of Budapest. And there was no gospel church. There was no gospel ministry there. People were far from God. There was like some churches, but church had become this total... there's pastors who don't believe in the gospel, don't believe in what they're preaching or sharing from the Bible. Just a good book. There's a good culture club we got going. And that was the extent of faith in some areas. Well, this is one of those areas. People were very far from God. And they felt like God was leading them there. And so they went there, and they started a ministry there. And their second summer there, we were able to bring a team of students to help with their summer English ministry. And the goal of that was basically, I mean, Sean is saying to the community, to the contacts that he's built through this English club, hey, I have some Canadians coming. They're going to help teach your children English. And so parents are like, this is awesome. And he's like, very clearly, this is a Christian English club. So we're going to be talking lots about the Bible. And people are like, that's fine. We're okay with that. And so Sean did this ministry, and we had a chance to come and be a part of that. For me, it was a unique experience. Most of the time when I talk to people, they already have an awareness of God, of Jesus, of who he is. They have awareness or understanding of the Bible. Shauna and I had a couple opportunities to share with people for the first time the good news of Jesus. And I remember this one night, at the end of the 2 weeks of this English camp, we had a parent night, a family night, and their families were there, and that we're all packed into this hall, and simply explaining, we don't measure up. Because of sin, we're going to fall short of having a relationship with God. But there's good news. What Jesus accomplished on the cross and through his death and resurrection, we have a hope for eternity. We have a hope to have a relationship with God forever. And it was one of those moments where I knew I was just part of something that was bigger than myself. And it was really exciting and really, really encouraging. And it's definitely one of those moments that I'm always like, kind of like, wow, God, that's one of the things I want to press towards. That's one of the things I want to go towards. And I don't know how or what that means. But I know in our culture here, in our context, people, our neighborhoods, the people around us are getting farther and farther from God. One other thing that I mentioned when I was up here, I talked about how, like with the plumb line, it's this overarching theme. There's these ideas that go through Scripture. And this morning, I want us to look at another idea. And it's found in Ecclesiastes. If you have your Bibles, can you turn there to Ecclesiastes chapter 1? Kind of like when you open up the Bible, you're kind of in the middle there, like Psalms, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes, if you're wondering where it is. Now, the author of Ecclesiastes, it's said to be Solomon. That's sort of the tradition, and some of the claims that the writer makes could only come from Solomon. And so it's kind of encouraging because we know quite a bit of Solomon because there's a lot about him in the Bible. And I'm going to talk about him in a minute, but I just want to take a minute and read this. Here's Solomon talking, and like this is the wisest guy, okay? He's crazy smart. People from in his time, all over the world would travel just to listen to him speak. And he wrote down some things. So 1:1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Now this is like one of the key themes in Ecclesiastes, vanity. We don't really use that word much. At least we don't in my home. Maybe you guys use it lots. I don't know. But it's a word that's not really used. And it comes up, I think, like 38 times in Ecclesiastes, okay? And the word really means, that the author uses, that Solomon uses, means vapor. Vapor. And it's this idea that it's just fleeting. It's elusive. It's just sort of there and gone. You can't really grab it. You can't really hold it. You see it, but it's gone. It doesn't stay. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rests. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing it, nor the ear filled with hearing it. What will be is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, "See, this is new"? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things, yet to be among those who come after. What does this sound like? Does this sound like a pretty happy guy right now? Sort of like one of those moments he's just sitting there like, long, hard day, exhausted. Have to do this all again tomorrow. This is ridiculous. What a waste of my time. Why did I just clean that room? It's going to be dirty. Its dust is going to fall. Why did I pull those weeds? They're just going to be there again tomorrow. What can we gain from this? I think one of the things Solomon is sort of identifying with is like, because of sin, because of the fall of man, because of what happened at the Garden of Eden, at the beginning, like work was given, right? Work was a good thing. But a consequence of work was it's going to be hard. It's going to be thistles. So it's going to have these moments where we're just like, what's going on? We're just going to pause for a minute. I want to do something here. Children, kids, do you guys want to come up here and sit on the bench for a minute? Yeah, come on up. Yeah, hey, Jet. You can just sit. Just sit down, okay? Pardon?
Am I young enough?
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah, yeah. You can be in middle school and come sit down. That's totally fine. Because you might want to be later in a couple minutes here, sitting up here. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Okay. So we're talking about this guy, Solomon. How many of you guys know of Solomon? Who? What do you know about Solomon? Yeah, what can you tell me?
God asked him a question, like he asked him what he would want, like he'd give him everything, and Solomon asked for wisdom.
Cool, okay, we're going to talk about that. That's a good point. That's an awesome thing about Solomon. What do you know about Solomon? Or is that what you're going to say? Ah, he took your answer. What do you know about Solomon?
Solomon was he asked for wisdom.
Right, he asked for wisdom, okay?
He was the son of David.
Yes, he was the son of David, that's right. Does anyone know who his mom was? Oh, tricky question. What do you do probably once a week? And it involves in your house, you go into this room where there's this big bowl, and you fill it with water, and you get in, and you have a...
Tub.
It's a tub. You have a what?
Bath.
A bath. Does that help you remember her name? Oh, you have a bath twice a week? Oh, that's... I should send my kids to your house. Bathsheba. His mom's name was Bathsheba. Now, here's one of the bizarre things about Solomon. Okay, so he was king after his dad, King David. You're awesome. You guys got this, okay? And so, do you know who normally became the king after the king? It was one of his son, his first son. So, would that make you think that...
He was a follower of Jesus.
Well, not yet, but we'll get into that. Okay, it's okay. That's right. He believed in God, right? Where was I? Oh, he wasn't the firstborn son. Did you know that? He wasn't. And there was actually this moment where two things happened. One, when his dad, David, was getting old, well... One of the older sons, who was older than Solomon, thought he should be king. And he actually wasn't even the firstborn son. He might have been the firstborn that was still alive at this point, but he wasn't the firstborn son anyways. And he thought he should be king. And so he went around and started acting like he was the king. But David was really old, and he was laying in his bed, and he was this old guy, and he was laying there, all like, oh, I'm old. And... This guy who was a prophet of God, his name was Nathan, and Solomon's mom, Bathsheba, they come to King David, and they're like, wake up. And he's like, oh, what's going on? And they said, do you not know what's happening? Your other son's acting like he's the king. Do you not remember what happened? You made some promises. You said that Solomon was going to be the king. And he's like, oh, yeah. Or he's probably like, yes, I remember that. Right? And so Solomon became the king. And we already said, Solomon was a wise guy, okay? And he had this moment with God. It was his dream. So he spent the day worshiping God. And he had a dream that night. And God appeared to him. And did you know God appeared to him actually like two times? This is the first time. And God said to him, Solomon... Awesome, you're the king. And did you know God actually gave him another name? It was called Jedidiah, and it means beloved one of God. That God loved him, right? And so God is saying, hey, my son, I want you to do this job. I want to do it well. I'm going to give you whatever you want. Whatever you ask, I'm going to give it to you. Now, I don't know about you, but in that moment... I have things that would come to my mind. Things like, I want all my enemies squashed like bugs. God, can you do that? God could do that, right? Or, God, I want a comfy, cushy life where I just sit in this big chair and people bring me like KFC and McDonald's and French fries and Slurpees all day. And I just sit there, right? But he didn't ask for that. He asked for what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom to do what?
The right thing.
to do the right thing. Now I was trying to think about this, how this question might work. I'm gonna pick on Jason. Do you guys know Jason? Can you come up here? Okay. Jason Weens, he helps me out at youth group, and I've gotten to know him a bit this year, and he didn't ask to come up here. I asked him to come up here. Okay? You can just sit here, Jason. Thank you. Now, I have something over here, and it's something in this box. Do you guys know what this is? Yeah. You guys know what these are, right? Yeah, it's sugar. And now, I was thinking about, what was that like for Solomon? And I was thinking, man, Jason, you know what? You can have all of these. But if I give them to you, they're just for you, okay? You can have them, and you can put them in your truck, and when you go out to check the pivots, you can take one of those suckers, and you can be like, yeah, life's good. Or if you're sort of like, man, I'm getting hot and tired, I just need a little sugar boost, you can go to your truck and grab one. Like, that would probably last you all summer. Wouldn't that be good? It'd be really sweet. Or Jason, you could give these guys each one. Which would you rather do, Jason? Oh, okay. Did you hear that? He said he would give you one. Now, if it was you guys and you had the big bucket of candy, wouldn't you kind of want to keep that for yourself? Oh, you guys are awesome. I know when I was 5, I had 3 younger brothers, and they ate all my candy. And if I could have a bucket of candy to keep to myself, that sounds pretty attractive. But Jason, can you give these guys each one? Now guys, here's the thing. God knew that Solomon made the right choice. And God said to Solomon, because you chose wisely and you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you all these other things that you didn't ask for. Okay? They're not going to listen to me now. You guys can go sit down, okay? Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Jason. You guys can go sit down too, okay? Thank you. Logan's wishing he was sitting on that bench, I think. Now we know the story, right? And God said, because you chose wisely, Solomon, I'm going to give you everything. And give you like more than you can imagine. And if you read the stories of Solomon, he was loaded, okay? He had it all. He had all the power. He didn't have war around him. Near the end of his life, he had some struggles with power there. But that was a result of sin in his life. Because God was quite clear to him, and he said, God said, if you keep me first, you're going to be laughing. And there was so much gold. Solomon had so much gold, he was just looking for ways to use it. So he made shields out of gold. He made glasses out of gold. They made utensils out of gold. They were just looking for ways to use gold. And in Scripture, it also talked about silver. Silver was so plentiful, it was just like stones. It was just everywhere. It was just like worthless. And he had these huge armies. And he had all of these horses. And one part of the Bible, like, there's two different numbers it says for horses. One number is like 4,000 horses, the other number is 40,000. They're not sure, but anyways, he had a ton of horses, okay? He had a big army, and he was into dealing things. So because of where Israel is, it was at this central spot in the world at that time. And the trade routes came through there. So they would buy horses from Egypt, and they would get chariots from Egypt, and they get horses from over here, and then they would sell it to these guys over here. And he did this kind of thing, and then he built a fleet of ships, and they would sail, and they would bring back exotic things for him, like baboons and peacocks. And he had these things just to entertain him. And He had whatever he wanted. We know about his love life. He had 700 wives. Ridiculous. He had 300 concubines. So he just had it all. One of the things I love about Scripture is how Christ is the fulfillment of everything, okay? And when I say that, we have these different eras in the Old Testament, right? In the Israelites, God is revealing himself through this one nation so that the world might know who he is, okay? And there was an era of judges. There was an era of kings and prophets. And Christ is the fulfillment of those things. Okay? And God, when the Israelites were getting ready to go into the promised land, Moses gave them all the rules. And one of the things was they weren't supposed to have kings. Because God was supposed to be their one true king. Okay? And so the priests were going to be the mediator between God and the people. And Moses was setting that all up. But if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 17, there's this one paragraph. Deuteronomy 17, 14, okay? So it's like, this is what Moses is saying. When you come to the land that the Lord your God has given you, and you possess it and dwell in it, and then say, I will set up a king over me, like all the nations that are around me. You may indeed set a king over you, whom the Lord your God will choose. One from among your brothers you shall set as king over you. You may not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. So God's going to give him a couple rules for the king. Now listen to this. The king, only he must not acquire acquire many horses for himself, or cause people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses. Since the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again. Did you know one of Solomon's wives was the daughter of the Pharaoh in Egypt? In order to have this peace treaty between him and Egypt, he married one of his daughters, one of Pharaoh's daughters. The Israelites weren't supposed to return to Egypt to get things. God brought them out of there. He redeemed them out of there. And Solomon's doing these things where he's coming back to it. And verse 17 continues on, and he shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart will turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excess silver and gold. Wisest man. And it's right there. It's not a long list. Pretty short list. I think it'd be pretty simple to keep it. Here's the thing. I think all of us could be Solomon. I think we could all do that. Actually, I think we do that. I think we make these kind of choices in our everyday life. And we struggle with it. And we try to think that we're in control of these little choices. Now, in today's society, we might not have multiple wives or spouses, but there's things that we give our heart to. And sometimes it'll just start out as little lies. I'm in control of this. I can handle it. It might be work. It might be reading things that we're not supposed to read or looking at things that we're not supposed to look at. It might be at work power or trying to please people. It might be acquiring lots of toys. I think Solomon is very relatable, even though maybe his life was out of reach of what we would imagine. I want us to turn to the end of Ecclesiastes. In chapter 12. So Solomon's, all these things are vanity. One of the things that I was reading, and it made me laugh this one evening when I was reading it, because Solomon's like, oh, I just get so frustrated because I'm just getting everything right. I'm smart, I'm wise, I'm figuring it out, I'm building up this kingdom. And then I'm going to die and someone foolish is going to come and take care of it all. Like everything. And then this is at the end. So the last couple verses. The end of the matter. All has been heard. Here's the conclusion. Here's the wisdom. Here's the tidbit. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. I don't know about you, but that's kind of scary, isn't it? That's the point of life? Watch out for God? Man, I'm glad the Bible doesn't end there. Like, I can't do that. This is maybe a good point. Just now, Jesus, like for those who maybe don't know about Jesus or don't trust him or Christianity, now essentially this is what we believe, okay? Jesus was more than just a good man. Okay? The things that he taught, that he believed, that he preached, the words that he said, didn't leave room for him to just be like, yeah, he's a good man. There's three conclusions that we can draw from his teaching, okay? He was either a liar. He just lied all the time. And somehow he got his apostles to buy into that lie and they all died for it. Or he was just crazy. He believed it, but he really wasn't God. And he just believed it and he was just a crazy man and doesn't make any sense because all these guys hung out with him for years and they all gave their life to him and they all died for a crazy man. That doesn't happen. Or the third conclusion, he really was the Lord. The things that Jesus claimed don't leave room for him just to be a good guy, a smart guy, a great teacher of his time and that we can look back on. But he was the Lord. So here's my closing point. And worship team, you can get ready to come up. Life is quick. It's like a vapor. You see it, and now you don't. And the things that you plan or try to attempt, well, they're pretty elusive. You can't control all the outcomes. It's frustrating. But thankfully, in this life that we desire, there's an eternal one to come. And this life is getting us ready for that one. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this life is a momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. The things that we're struggling with, the things that beat us up, that keep us up at night, that stress us out, it's going to pass away. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen disappear, but the things that are unseen are eternal.